Let me know how I can help. You've probably heard those words before. In fact, you've probably spoken those words. Let's try it together. Let me know how I can help. Remember those words, because I'd like you to say them after a few phrases that I speak. As the result of an illness or a death of a family member, we hear the words, let me know how I can help. When someone faces financial stress, we hear the words, in the midst of a relational challenge or a family crisis, we hear the words. Or it could be a professional challenge that requires the help of others, and we hear those words, let me know how I can help. Yeah, they usually occur in a situation where someone's going through a challenge or a real difficult patch in life. And you know, sometimes we say these words because we honestly and genuinely want to help. But let's be honest. Sometimes we say these words because we have absolutely no idea of what to say, and we want to break the silence. Sometimes we say these words because we have no idea of how to help, and we feel helpless. But think about the person who's going through the challenge or the crisis or the difficulty. That person may not know what they need. That person may not even know how to approach the situation that they are experiencing. They may not know how to ask for help. And if asked for help, are we really willing and able to give the help to someone else? I mean, when we say those words, let me know how I can help, do we secretly hope that we're not going to be asked for the help that's needed? I mean, if we really want to help, maybe we need to take the initiative and say, I'd like to help you in this way. Paul, in writing to the Corinthians, took initiative to address a need that was happening in the church. He was taking up a collection for the followers of Jesus Christ at the church in Jerusalem who were going through a rough experience. And so Paul didn't wait. He took initiative and began to organize a collection. This morning we continue with our stewardship series entitled Overflow. I encourage you to follow along as I read from the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 1 through 5. Listen to God's word. There is no need for me to write to you about this service to the Lord's people, for I know your eagerness to help. And I have been boasting about it to the Macedonians, telling them that since last year, you and Achaia were ready to give, and your enthusiasm has stirred most of them to action. But I am sending the brothers in order that our boasting about you in this matter should not prove hollow, but that you may be ready, as I said you would be. For if any Macedonians come with me and find you unprepared, we, not to say anything about you, would be ashamed of having been so confident. So I thought it necessary to urge the brothers to visit you in advance and finish the arrangements for the generous gift you had promised. Then it will be ready as a generous gift, not as one grudgingly given. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Will you pray with me? Gracious God, I pray that the words of my mouth and that the meditations of our hearts, that they all might be acceptable in your sight. For you are the very rock and redeemer of our lives. And so, Lord, we ask that you would help us by your Holy Spirit to hear your word afresh in our hearts and our minds. And Lord, help us not to hear it only, but help us to be willing to walk in obedience with you. For we ask it in the strong name of Jesus Christ, our Savior and our Lord. Amen. There's a few principles in this passage I would like for us to see together. The first is that when we see a need, take initiative. Paul took initiative in organizing and coordinating this gift for the followers of Jesus in Jerusalem. Now, this was not an easy thing for him to do. Robocalls had not yet been invented. There was no GoFundMe campaign available on the social network. Email, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, and online giving were not options. So Paul did it the old-fashioned way. He wrote a letter. He followed up his letter with a visit. And so we're not talking about minutes and hours. We're talking about weeks and months and even more than a year. Now, in the midst of the need, Paul appealed to the people based on their eagerness to give. It's interesting what Paul says. Follow along with me in verse 1. There is no need for me to write to you about this service to the Lord's people. Why is there no reason for him to write about this? Because the people knew the need and they wanted to help. The church in Corinth was the largest or the leading church in the whole province of Achaia. In fact, Paul boasted about the Corinthians' eagerness to help and their enthusiasm. The result of the enthusiasm made most of the Macedonians willing to be stirred to action. Now, it's interesting that it's most of the Macedonians were stirred to action. Paul notes that not everybody was excited about taking part in this collection. That probably is true for us as well, isn't it? That sometimes we hear about needs and we might say the words, "How can I help?" And deep down we're, "Nah, not so much. Don't want to do it." But most of the Macedonians were willing, based on the enthusiasm that they had seen in the Corinthians. In her commentary on 2 Corinthians, Linda Belleville says this about Paul's boasting. She states, "Paul's boasting about the Corinthian church was not about being naive or overly optimistic. He is talking about one church to another. And as he does, he presents the congregation in the best possible light." You know, I've heard about the Noroten Presbyterian Church for several decades now. And what I've heard about this church has always been in the positive light. And now I've had the chance to come and be here and see it up close and personal. I've gotten to see the initiatives that have taken place in this congregation. Now, several years ago, it was clear that the current facilities were in need of renovations and improvements. After much study and prayer, and after the investment of time and energy and resources, we have a new center core. We have improvements to this whole facility. Over $13 million were raised. And a tithe of that, 10%, $1.3 million, have been strategically given to kingdom initiatives, both locally and globally. And I want to say, wow. Wow. We didn't have to borrow any money. And we benefit from the improvements and from the renovations. and our brothers and sisters in Christ in this community locally and globally have benefited because of that. And yes, I know that not everyone was in agreement about the building, the extent of the plans, or the amount. But that happens, doesn't it? But most of the people of Noroten were, and we benefited. You know, I rejoice in the fact of what we've been able to do with these new facilities. I think these facilities have fostered a camaraderie, a teamwork among our staff. I think these facilities have given the possibility for new partnerships to happen. Just Monday night, there was a group of middle school students and some high school students and some parents, but majority of the middle school students who met here in partnership with Fellowship for Christian Athletes, and they listened to three young men from the New York City Football Club, soccer players, share about their experience with Jesus Christ. It was a wonderful event. I almost had to pinch myself because it was so good to see faces I didn't know come through the doors and hear a witness of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Can I get an amen? Amen. That's a wonderful thing. And you know, I hope and I pray that we're beginning to think of other ways in which we can use the gifts that God has given us, that we can be good stewards of the facilities that God has given us, so that the gospel might go forward. Give God's grace a chance to bless others through you. When you see a need, take initiative. But be prepared to follow through. You see, it's hard to sustain enthusiasm over time, isn't it? Donor fatigue, compassion fatigue, those are real things. They happen. And Paul experienced this on behalf of the Corinthian church. The initial zeal or enthusiasm that the Corinthians had was it so inspiring to the Macedonians that the Macedonians were roused to action. Well, look what the Corinthians are doing. If they can do it, so can we. We don't want to be shamed by the Corinthians. I mean, we want to make sure we can give. And so they did. But as time had passed, the months, the years since the collection began, the enthusiasm of the Corinthians started to wane. And so Paul writes chapters 8 and 9 in this second letter to the Corinthians. Can you imagine what it may have been like if Paul would have traveled with a few Macedonian partners to the church in Corinth to pick up the gift for the church in Jerusalem, and he found that they weren't ready? That would have been embarrassing for Paul. It would have been embarrassing for the Corinthians and the church there. And it really would have been awkward for the Macedonian partners who were with Paul. And so Paul resorts to what we've done for years. When someone important comes, we send an advance team. Now, a number of years ago in the late 70s, when I was a student at Rutgers University in New Brunswick, New Jersey, we were blessed to have a visit from our then sitting president, Jimmy Carter. The excitement was palpable. Whether you supported Jimmy Carter or not, the streets were lined 10 and 15 people deep just to see the motorcade pass by. It was so impressive to see the President of the United States on my campus. And just like that, pew, he was gone. As I thought about that, I realized that there was something even more impressive. That there was a group of people, how many I don't know, that came as the advance team to lay out the route, to fix security, to make emergency procedures, to make everything ready for the visit. And you see, that's what Paul was doing here. He sent an advance team to make sure the collection was ready in Corinth. And so he tells the Corinthians about the Macedonians' generosity. We looked at this last week. Remember that the Macedonians gave not according to their means, but they gave beyond their means. And then Paul spoke, writing to the Corinthians, said, you know, I know you Corinthians are a group of people who like to excel. You like to excel in everything you do. So why not excel in this grace of giving? And then Paul goes on to remind them of how God gave on their behalf. Take a look in chapter 8, verse 9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich. Are we prepared to follow through on what we've started? We as a congregation have been given and entrusted with a beautiful facility. How will we live into it? How does God want us to live into it? What new ministries are possible now that weren't possible 3 or 4 years ago? My friends, we paid for this facility to be built, and we now have a responsibility to be good stewards, to care for this facility, to pay for its operation and for its upkeep. We still have a responsibility to be generous to our staff. And we have a responsibility for all the costs associated with our ministries together. Are we prepared to follow through on what we started? Give God's grace a chance to bless others through you. Be prepared to finish what we've started. Be willing to ask and to take initiative when we see a need. And the third principle that Paul lays out here is to give with generosity. He draws an interesting contrast in the last verse of this text. After the advance team arrives and does its work, then the collection, as he says, will be ready as a generous gift, not as one grudgingly given. Contrast between generosity or giving a gift grudgingly. The word used for generous gift actually is literally a good word, a blessing, speaking a blessing over someone. But the way it's used in this passage, it refers to a tangible gift. The word translated grudgingly can also be translated extortion, arm twisting. And Paul's desire is that that does not happen. He wants the Corinthians to give freely as a blessing, not in a calculating way, not in a covetous way, not in a way thinking, okay, I'm going to give this, but I'm going to get this back. It's taking their resources and placing them before God and saying, this is yours anyway. Use it for your greater glory. In a former congregation in which I served, there was a young man named Chuck who, during a stewardship season, was incensed. And he came up to my wife, Ruthie. She didn't even preach that day. And she got blasted. To say he was angry is soft selling it. He was furious. He said to Ruthie, "Why is it that this church is always asking for me to give money? And not only do they ask for me to give money, they want more. They want me to up my pledge." And he went on. And I mean, it was an uncomfortable time. It was in a hallway and people were walking by. And God bless Ruthie, she just stood there and listened. And when he began to kind of calm down a little bit, Ruthie said, "So, tell me, do you believe that you're giving what God has asked you to give? And if so, then why so much emotion? Or is there a possibility that the Holy Spirit is at work in your heart and your mind and you're wrestling with the fact that maybe, just maybe, the Holy Spirit wants to be at work in your bank account and your checkbook? How she came up with that in a moment, I have no idea. But it raises a question for me, and that is this. How is it that we give? Do we give freely out of generosity to bless others in tangible ways? Or do we give grudgingly, regretting each dollar that we give and each check that we write? I can't answer that question for you. I can only answer that question for me. But what I can tell you is that this congregation, Noroten Presbyterian Church, has ongoing needs to continue ministries that have been taking place both in the walls of this church and beyond. And the need doesn't seem to be decreasing. However, our budget has decreased. I'm convinced that the Lord will provide what we need to do the work on our corner on Post Road and Noroten Avenue, as well as in Greater Fairfield County, our nation, and our world. And we need to give God's grace a chance to bless others through us. Since 1863, the people of Noroten Presbyterian Church have responded to God's Spirit. Needs were seen and the people responded. The congregation was formed and buildings were built. The chapel, then the tower, the education building, the sanctuary. And we've done many renovations in between. But more importantly than our buildings, people here have responded to God by taking initiative to bear witness to God's grace in and through Jesus Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit. And it's not about us. We stand on the shoulders of those who've gone before us. We exist for those who are not yet members, who have not yet tasted of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have prepared for what we have done, and we need to be prepared for what God desires for us to do as we move into the future. May we be people who don't only say, "Let me know what I can do to help." May we be people who eagerly live into those words and bless others generously with the grace through which we have been blessed. Give God's grace a chance to bless others through you. May it be so for this congregation. Amen.